Amen, amen, amen. Every time I hear that song, blesses my heart beyond belief, as we have been blessed. And I wonder how often, so often many times, we take it for granted how much God has blessed us. And, I'm so thankful that anytime Preston sings that song, it's a blessing to my heart in more ways than probably most people will realize. But it is timely. It's a timely song to lead into tonight's message. And I do hope and pray tonight, and my thoughts and my prayers, that if this is a message either by preventative maintenance for you or protective maintenance to you. One of the two tonight. I hope it's a preventative or protective sermon. And I hope it touches your hearts. I'm going to open up by asking a simple question to you this evening. One that you may not have asked yourself before, but I'm going to ask you, what will it take for you to quit? What will it take for you to quit in anything? What does it take for you to quit in life? What will it take for you to quit the Lord, to quit church, to quit Bible reading, to quit being kind, to quit serving, to quit challenge? What will it take for you to just say, enough is enough, I'm done? And I'm not just talking about the house of God. I'm not just talking about serving the Lord, but I'm talking about everything. I believe it's a challenging question that we need to be faced with. I believe it's a question that we not only need to address, but we need to answer in our own heart and our own mind. Because I know there's a limitation for everyone. I say that. I would assume that there is. But I want you to ask yourself this question as we go into our text verses that we read for our reading earlier. What will it take for you to quit? 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 is where we are back in. And I'm probably going to turn once or twice tonight, but probably may not ask you to turn there. But other than that, we're going to remain in this chapter this evening. Verse 16 again says, I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Father in heaven, we pray a special blessing upon the reading of thy word. Guide and grant us now thy presence, Lord, and watch over us and touch our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In this second letter into the Corinthians, Paul in chapter 11, beginning in verse 16, down to verse 22, he's speaking sarcastically. That's one reason the word fool and foolishly is seen so many times in just these small portions of scriptures. He's sarcastically giving these words, and he's doing so as he begins to move to introduce the very next part of the letter. He goes from speaking sarcastically to proving a massive point that we need to gather a hold of. They pick up where we left off in verse 23, and the Bible says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one, that's 39 times 5. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys, he says, journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Friend, let me ask you this question after just reading that here this evening. Let me ask you this simple question. Do you believe that Paul ever pondered this question? Is it worth it? You just read the word perils a multitude of times. You just saw the beatings. You just saw the robberies, the deaths, all of these things that he just says in five verses or more. He says simply all these things that he suffered. So I ask you a question. Do you think it went through his mind? Man, is this worth it? I wonder, and I wonder this all the time, I wonder if quitting ever came across Paul's mind. Beloved, we see and hear people today, and in a moment's notice, quit anything. They quit friendships, relationships, marriages, businesses, jobs, churches, the ministry. I mean, they quit. People today quit more things in their life than they ever finish. Most never even get started enough to actually quit, but just give up and move to the next event in their life to leave undone. So often I hear of men brag of how long they've been saved, and they lay claim to saying, hey, listen, I've been saved 20 years, I've been saved 30 years, 40 years, I've been standing up for Jesus the whole time. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe they're stuck in standing in the same place where they were on the evening or the morning they got saved. Maybe they need to get moving in their life, amen. Maybe they need to move forward in the Christian walk rather than just standing still. Nevertheless, guys, some people are quitters from their youth and others not. Some are ultimately successful in one thing, and that is quitting, jumping to the next event, while others are successful in keeping on. So tonight I want us to address the question, and I want you to examine your own heart. It's not my job tonight to examine you. My job tonight is to examine myself. You say, well, preacher, you're the pastor. I understand that. But tonight's going to be a little different. I want you to answer the question yourself. What will it take for you to quit? Beloved, will it take tonight problems? Will it take problems in your life? Point number one. Look in verse 23 with me. The Bible says, are the ministers of Christ, I speak as a fool, I am more, and labors more abundant, and stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Are the Jews five times received by 40 stripes, save one? Let me ask you this question tonight. What will it take for you to quit? Will it take stripes in your life? How many stripes are you going to take from your own people for you to just quit in your life? How about when Paul went to Philippi? Think about this for just a second. We just came off preaching Paul being in Philippi here a while back for several weeks. And understand what Paul did. He obeyed the law that of the land. Just like we're doing now in our country here, we're not allowed to meet and congregate together here, so we're doing online services, we're doing these things live in the church, and we're pressing on our working tooth and nail, guys, to keep doing this. But my question, Paul obeyed the law, he went outside the city limits, he prayed and he preached the gospel, we find that a woman gets saved, we find that her household gets saved, and then we find that when the men saw that happen, that the men sent this devil-possessed woman to mock and make fun of him, and when Paul turned and cast the devil out of her, these same wicked men, when they found her financial backing was lost, this soothsaying woman was now a member of the church, what happened? Acts 16 and verse 19, you see it from your screen, says, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought to them the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. And they troubled the city. They did nothing but benefit that city. They did nothing but help that city. Listen, they were taking people. They were taking one woman there and led her to the Lord Jesus Christ. She got saved. Her life just now improved. But not according to these guys that trouble the city. Verse 21. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrate went out their clothes and commanded them to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now we know that story. We just went over it in the Bible studies many, many, many times. But let me ask you this question this evening. How many stripes from those closest and farthest away from you would it take for you to say, I'm done, I quit? So we're talking about problems tonight. Will it take problems for you to quit? Will it take, within those problems, will it take stripes? Will it take stones? How many times could you take the stones of someone's hatred, someone's life, someone's opinion, someone's envy, someone's malice thrown at you for you to say, you know what, I'm done, man, I'm out of here. Men will throw an accusation against another person. They'll hurl a rebuke at one's position today, just like they did in Paul's day. And I'm going to ask you this question. Will you quit when they do it to you? Words are like sharpened stones which cut the skin and break the bones. As men launch them toward brothers and sisters in Christ. Psalms 52:2 says, thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor working deceitfully. The tongue. The tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor. What does a sharp razor do? It cuts, man. It wounds. I've said this for years, beloved. Words are tools. They can be instruments of construction or they can be weapons of destruction. Yeah. And Paul suffered at the hands of both. Paul paid the price from the words of men as well as the weapons of stones. How much can you take? How much can you take tonight? How well will you react when all you want to do is right, and all you want to do is to work for the Lord Jesus Christ, and all you want is to have the peace of God in your life, and yet those around you do nothing but throw stones in your direction? David said in Psalm 57, verse 4, my soul is among lions. And I lie among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. As a matter of fact, don't turn there. I'm just going to read Psalm 64. Psalm 64 in verse 1 says, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword. All right? W-H-E-T, just like on the stones, they sharpen. And they bend their bows to shoot the arrows, even bitter words. That they may shoot in secret at the perfect, suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? Verse 6. They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. Beloved, think about this for a second. How many times, how many stones of people's words are going to cut through your heart and cut through your mind and cut into your soul until you finally say, look, I'm done. The problems of stripes, the problems of stones. What about the problems Paul had of suffering shipwreck? How many accidents or mistakes are you going to make in your life before you say, forget it, I'm over it? How many wrong turns have you made? How many spin-outs have you experienced? How many backslidden states will occur in your life before you just say, I quit? Beloved, there are some who have simply gone so far out into the sea of sin that they finally say, I'm too far gone. I cannot make it back. Paul writes in Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:19, saying, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now you may sit there and say, well, preacher, does that mean I'm too far gone? I don't know your state. Again, tonight is not my night to tell you where you are. Tonight is my night for us all to ask this question. What will it take for you to quit? What it took for Hymenaeus and Alexander was for them to blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to blaspheme God, and they have failed. Concerning their faith, they made shipwreck. I don't know where you are today. But what is it going to take? What problems is it going to take in your life to quit church, to quit business, to quit friendships and relationships, to quit marriage, to quit? Hey, what is it going to take in your life to say, I'm done, man? There was a preacher who asked a certain man who had stopped attending his church, and he's asked him, why? He goes, where have you been? And the man said, hey, listen, they haven't treated me right over there at that church. And the preacher asked him this simple question. Then why don't you just go home and beat your wife? And the backslider looked at the preacher, really questioned his sanity. And he says, my wife hasn't done anything against me. He says, well, has the Lord Jesus Christ done anything against you? My friend, being angry at the brethren and forsaking the Lord is about as illogical as being angry with the dog and going over and kicking the cat. It makes no sense whatsoever. So how many times, guys, will you endure stripes? How many times will you endure storms? How many times will you endure shipwrecks before you say, enough is enough, I quit? What will it take in your life to quit? You ever thought about it like this? What are your limitations tonight? Where do you draw the line? What will it take for you to quit? Maybe it's not problems. Maybe there is problems that come into your life that will cause you to quit. What about perils? Problems are one thing, but perils is a whole different animal in itself. Look at verse 26. Paul says, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Beloved, the list of multitude of avenues of perils that Paul had experienced, my soul, they had just came his way. They came from every single direction, above and below, in his life. All kinds of these perils. But what exactly is a peril? Webster defines a peril as danger or risk or hazard or jeopardy. He goes on to say a particular exposure of a person or property to injury, loss, or destruction from any cause whatsoever. Paul mentions in journeys often. In journeys and often. So he faced perils in the midst of his journey. So we find that he faced with perils in his journeys. He mentions water. Now, beloved, water always takes the path of least resistance. It makes rivers and men crooked. So maybe that applies to you tonight. Maybe it doesn't apply to you. But Paul traveled greatly by ship and therefore suffered perils on water. Maybe you're suffering perils today because you've taken the path of least resistance, and it's caused you to become crooked. It's caused you to bend. You've taken the path of least resistance. I see that I saw that in business in years gone back, where men would make a certain other employees, or they would bring unbearable acts of responsibility into their life just for one reason, to get them to quit. You know why? Because they didn't want the man up and let them go when it was time to go. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you've taken the path of least resistance and it's making you turn crooked or something. Or maybe somebody in your life is taking the path of least resistance and you're bearing the brunt of that. What's it going to take for you to quit? Is it going to be perils of water? What about perils of robbers? Perils of robbers. Thieves, man. How many times will somebody steal your name, rob your confidence, take advantage of your good nature, and abuse your friendship before you say, I am done, I quit? I'm done. I quit. Perils. Perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of your own country and heathen. What would happen when it seems as if you were being attacked from both sides? Country and heathen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5 says, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Had no rest whatsoever. You gonna quit? When it seems like you're getting it from all directions, from everyone, from the lost world to the saved world, from your own brothers and sisters in Christ and those out there. Hey, listen, when you're getting hit from all sides, is the pressure going to be too much in the midst of the perils in your life? And you're going to say, I'm done. But you're going to quit. What false brethren? Listen, in journeys often, Paul faced these perils of water, robbers, and countrymen, and heathen, and also false brethren. You know what Gandhi said? Gandhi said, I would most certainly become a Christian if it were not for the Christians. I don't know about you guys, but I'm sure you probably get tired of hearing how spiritual some are and how they love God and what they did for God and what they did for the church and what they did for that, and all to find out they're just liars. Just liars. How many times will it happen for those people to walk through the door of your life before you say, I quit? I'll tell you, I'm just going to show you something. Look in, just look back one chapter. Let me see where we are. Look in chapter 11. We're in chapter 11. For some reason, I have my head on chapter 12. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look up in verse 13. Notice what it says. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transformed themselves into the apostles of Christ. He says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their own works. Beloved, you're going to have false brethren come into your life. But just like we talked about being angry with the cat and kicking the dog, or vice versa, whatever it may be, you don't take it out on the Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, here's the deal. The question is on the table tonight. It's for me to answer myself just as much for you to answer yourself. What will it take in your life for you to quit? Is it going to take problems? Is it going to take perils? All things Christians, like listen, all things that Christians have quit serving and worshiping God over, problems and perils. But tonight, what is it going to take for you to quit? What's it going to take for you to say, I'm not going back to church. I'm not going to tithe anymore. I'm not going to give to missions anymore. I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm not going to open the Bible anymore. I'm not going to witness anymore. Or, hey, what about your other part of your life? What? I'm not going to that business anymore. I'm not going to be that friend. I'm not going to have that relationship. What's it going to take for you to quit? What's it going to take in your life for you to quit, man? Thirdly, will it take pain? Will it take pain? Look at verse 27 with me. Paul says, in weariness and painful and in watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fasting, often in cold and nakedness. I think there's probably something that we can all agree with tonight. It's got a little gray on it. That old body gets old, doesn't it? That old body gets tired, gets hungry, gets weary. In this busy, overran world that we live in, that body begins to break down. But beloved, how much will it take in your life for that body to get tired, for that mind to get distracted, for the hunger? How much weariness in your life, in the busy days that we now live in, how much is it going to take for you just to quit? How tired is too tired? Let me ask you that. How sore is too sore? How weary is too weary? I remember the mornings of two-a-days and three-a-days back. And I know you guys could say, preacher, you're always making illustrations to football. Well, man, that's all I know outside of the Bible, man. So unless you want a healthcare description, and I don't think anybody wants that. I'm just here to tell you guys that I remember the mornings of two-a-days and three-a-days. And I mean, the first few days were the worst. I was telling this to my wife here a while back. That I can remember those first few days, your body was bruised. I mean, you had bruises everywhere, you know, but your body acclimates to those bruises. And after that, when you get into that second week, man, those bruises, they just, you don't even feel them anymore. They're not there. I mean, just hitting that body up. But man, I can remember the rising of the sun. One of the things that just sticks out in my mind, especially my sophomore year in college, I remember having two and three a day practices. We called them all the days is all it was. And have three practices a day. We'd have three or four team meetings a day. And I can remember the rising sun streaking through the window and the alarm clock going off, telling me to get up and get going and go do it again. And my body was beaten. My body was bruised. It was almost broken. But laying still was not an option. I had to move. I had to keep going. Despite the pain, despite the problems, and despite the peril, I had to get up and go. You ever been that way? You ever experienced that? I mean, you know, when you just do not want to move because you know it's going to hurt. Pain is set in, the problems have mounted up, the perils seem too much. The question is, you going to quit? Will you quit? What will it take for you to quit in this life today? Let me ask you this lastly tonight. Will it take your priorities? Will it take your priorities? Look at verse 28. Paul said, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Besides all the things that happened to the Apostle Paul, besides the problems, besides the peril, besides the pain, the care of the churches were still there. The concern, the heartbreak of fallen Christians, the feuding of families, and the divisions of men was still there in Paul's life. On top of everything else. On top of the shipwrecks, on top of the stripes, on top of the stones, on top of all the things that was happening in his life, that care and concern of broken families, torn up homes, feuding families, feuding members, was bearing down on top of them. Too often, guys, in all fairness, It is not the problems, it's not the perils, or even the pain which causes Christians to quit. It's their priorities. Serving Christ is not high on their list as it once was. I say that because one of the things that I can say during this lockdown, you've heard very, very little about the church. You've heard questions about pubs, you've heard questions about restaurants and hair salons and all this and that. But boy, I tell you, very little has been mentioned about the church. Priorities are out of whack. I don't care who hears that. I'm just telling you, your priorities are out of whack. Serving Christ is not high on the list anymore. Things simply begin to take his place. Little by little, night by night, Christ has moved to the side. You notice that by all the work that goes on Sunday nowadays. Business is delivering on Sundays. It used to never happen. It starts out slow. It starts out in the house of God. It starts out with the Christian, my friend. I say it starts out slow. We begin to say this: I'll make up that tithe next time that comes. I'll make up next Sunday evening service. I'll make that up next week. No, never comes. I'll make up Wednesday. I'll make that up next week. Never comes. I'll make Bible study next time. Never comes. I'll catch up on my Bible reading. I'll start it tomorrow. Never comes. My prayer life, I'll get back into my prayer life. Never comes. I'll witness to my neighbor next time. Next time never comes. I will. You fill in the blank next time, because next time never comes. Friend, I trust that the same care of the churches that Paul had, which brought him through danger, which brought him through despair, which brought him through depression, is the same care which drove him forward to continue on, to never quit, to always move forward. It was this drive that allowed him to pen 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. He said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You see, my friend, what's it going to take for you to quit? What will it take for you to quit in this life? What will it take for you to quit on friends? To quit on family, to quit on business, to quit on your job? What will it take for you to quit in the church and in the Bible, in witnessing, in serving the Lord? What's it going to take for you to quit in life? Will it take the perils? Will it take the problems? Will it take the pain? Or will it simply come in unnoticed because of a lack of prioritization? I want to show you something in closing this evening. And maybe you're listening to this tonight and you're right on the verge of being tempted to quit. Maybe you're tired of the whole thing. Maybe you're just sick of, maybe you feel like you're climbing up a hill. I don't know where you are. But again, I said that this sermon tonight is not about me telling you something, about us asking ourselves this question of what will it take for us to quit. I want to show you something. Again, I say you may be tempted to quit, or maybe you're yet to start. Look over with me in 2 Corinthians still. Go to chapter 4. And this is the last time, only time I ask you to turn, and we will close down the message here. Look at chapter 4. I want you to look down in verse 8. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Look in verse 8. Paul says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are," he says, "persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Paul saw it all, my friend. Paul was left for dead, but he was never left alone. Beloved, you're not alone tonight in the problems and the pain and the priorities. You're not alone in the perils tonight. And maybe you've heard the word this evening and feel like you were on the verge of quitting. Maybe this message was just for you. Maybe it was just for me, for future tense. I don't know. But it's either a preventative, or it's a preventative message for you this evening, or it's a preparatory message for you this evening. One of the two. Maybe you're just on the verge of coming back. It's a performance message for you. For me, just back in, just like in the days of Ball, laying still is not an option. I have to move. I have to keep going, despite the pain, despite the problems, despite the peril, and despite what may be priorities in other people's lives. I have to keep moving. And I trust tonight that you'll hear this word. Wherever you may be in your Christian life, ask yourself this one question: what will it take for me to quit? And will the Apostle Paul say that I'm not alone? Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for who and what you are and all that you've done. And I pray now that you take this message and write it upon the table of our hearts, dear God. And I pray there will be a message to provoke, if it's a message to perform, if it's a message, Father, for preventative maintenance, where it may be. I pray, dear God, tonight that you would help each and every one of us ask ourselves that question. Challenge us, dear God, I ask, that we may stand up on our feet, dear God, understanding that we are never alone, but and with you we are always in the majority. And Father, we may stand with Paul. And even though in the midst of problems, even though in the midst of pain, even though in the midst of perils, that our priorities will be in order. We will keep moving, driving forward, always abounding in our body, the Lord Jesus Christ. In whose name I ask these things. Amen. And amen. I hope and pray the Word of God is a blessing to your heart and your mind tonight. I turn it over to Brother Preston for the closing hymn.